and I play music too. I just eat, sit there, put the thing in front of my mouth. Okay, we are back on the workshop stage at the annual Florida Folk Festival, where the featured traditions of the year are forest industries. Since this morning, we've been talking about. Huh? Okay. That's nice.
Thanks.
Of you. We've been talking about everything to do with the forestry, from putting the land up and readying it for a crop. Trees are a crop that takes about 30 years to grow rather than 3 weeks or 6 months. And we've talked about how to prepare the land for them and then how to survey them in order to figure out the best uses for trees. And we've logged the trees. We've talked with loggers today. But then all of a sudden you got this forest and somehow it catches fire, because this is a crop that also has to deal with Mother Nature, and Mother Nature brings lightning and lightning brings fire. So do people who are careless with their matches and the like. And we're actually going to have some other people up here, but this is a good way actually to bring out the point that there are plenty of men involved in forest industries, but there are women too. And I'd like to introduce you to Cheryl Summers, correct?
Yes.
Cheryl Summers. Mm-hmm. And Cheryl Summers is involved with firefighting. And so somebody else.
This is another one.
Are you? This is another firefighter.
No, I use it.
He's going to talk fire too, though.
Okay. Talking about fire burning. What's your name?
I'm Jay Tucker.
Jay Tucker, the county forester. And hopefully we're going to have Martine Young up here at some point as soon as he gets through with the food. But the first thing I need to know is what exactly do people in the forest industries do with fire?
Well,
Cheryl, answer that.
That's I say when people talk about fire, of course, the first thing they think about is wildfire. But actually, in forestry, we use fire in a number of ways. We have wildfire, and in fact, my job is fire prevention. So I work with Smokey Bear and with those lines as far as wildfire prevention. But we also use fire to prescribe burn, which is a management tool that we use to clear out the underbrush. And then we also use fire to prepare the land for planting. So it's a real complicated issue when you talk about fire. But I think if you want to talk first about putting out fire, Martine is a ranger with the Division of Forestry, and that is his main job, is putting out fire. So he can tell you about that much more than Jay or I could.
Okay, why don't we start with the kinds of fires that everybody knows about the most. And Martine, what are some of the causes of wildfires, and what exactly do you do in order to put them out?
Well, some of the causes of wildfire is lightning strikes, and then you also have arson, and then you have fire that burns, that you issue a burning permit, and it gets out of control due to high wind or being unattended. And some of the ways that we suppress the fire is, once we arrive on the scene, we scout the area and we scout the situation, and we pretty much try to check out the fuel type to see what the undergrowth is like, and that pretty much determine the rate of the fire, how hot or the intensity of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you actually go through a period of, do you wait for fires? Do you look for fires? And is there a way that you to do that?
Well, we have tower lookouts that pretty much is manned about every 25 miles apart or so. And with the tower lookouts, they call in the tower on the Allendale scale. That's up in the top of the tower, and they call it into the dispatch. And once they get it into the dispatch, they get a crossing on it. And once they get a crossing on it, they call it out to the rangers, and the rangers are dispatched to go to the fire then.
Mm-hmm. Is the crossing sort of like the location? It'd be, say, if there was a fire, the crossing would be like at the corner of Vine and Race, you know?
Right.
Like
okay.
That? Okay.
Well, we get a section where it's located. Well, on our map, we are located with in the section, township, and range.
Okay.
And when they call it out, it's subject to be 1 South 16 East. Mm-hmm. And we're located on our map, and from then we know where we are to deploy to.
So it's really like a code, isn't it? It's just, you know, this kind of code that rangers learn.
Roger. Listen at me, Roger. But anyway,
he just used one of them.
Right. We go.
Radio too long.
Do you know what it was? What was it he said that might have been part of his lingo? It's Roger.
But anyway, we go to a school that's down in Brooksville from 3 weeks to a month, and we have all top staff come out. You have the chief fire bureau of Tampa. He comes out and he gives you an overlook of firefighting from structure point all the way to the outdoor fire type of fighting. Mm-hmm. Then you have the weather bureaucrat comes out of Tallahassee and he gives us a training about the weather and everything and what we'd expect of the changing of the weather and so forth.
What kinds of, you don't go into a fire now to fight it just sort of wearing your everyday shorts and Reeboks, do you?
Negative on that. We have firefighting equipment which is issued to us. Actually, all the pants is firefighting pants. They have a special type of fabric inside that prevents the heat from getting too hot. And we have fire shirts, and we also have helmet and gloves, part of the firefighting equipment, standard firefighting issue. And also we have a firefighting belt that we wears around our waist now, which carry a tent. In case we're overrun by fire, we can pretty much clear out the area to get into.
Did you bring any of your equipment with you? Do you have your fire shirt in there?
Right. I can go right over to the transport and bring it over.
Why don't you get that? And you have your fire tent, too.
Okay.
Okay, why don't we, we're going to get that and show you some of the equipment that you use, and we'll, then in the meantime, we'll leave it to Cheryl and Jay here to, Jay, right?
When they're fighting fire, what he was talking about is the towers. If a tower over here sees a fire and a tower over here sees a fire, they report where it's seen. And where that point meets on the map is the area he's talking about is the crossing. And that gives the location of the fire. And as far as putting out a fire, I don't know how many of y'all are familiar with what's called the fire triangle. But you have a fire triangle and it's heat, fuel, and oxygen. So when fighting a fire, you want to eliminate one of those legs of the triangle. So you want to either eliminate the heat, take away the heat, the fuel, or the oxygen. With what the equipment that we have, and in Florida, the main thing we use is to take away the fuel. And what we have is the tractor plow unit. That tractor plow unit has what's called a V-blade on the front. It's a blade that's like this. And what that does is push through and get the brush out of the way, and then the plow can come behind it to eliminate all the fuel, because soil won't burn unless there's a lot of organic material in it. So that's what we use to fight fire in Florida. However, we have just the past couple years, we've been using a lot of aircraft, and we use our helicopters, and that cannot work on fire that's very hot as far as a large wall of flame, but it can get spots that are real intense, that are individual type spots to cool it down. And so that's one way we can use it too. And the helicopter will go, there's a picture over there on the board, and it has what's called a Bambi bucket on it. And it will, you can take it to a lake and pick up the water. They don't have to, of course, they can just fly by and hover over the lake, pick up the water, and then they can dump the fuel or the water on the fire. And that cools down the fire, which is also the way we use to fight fire.
You called that a Bambi bucket. Are there any other kinds of, like, nicknames for equipment? Do you have any names for your, you know?
I don't even know how the Bambi bucket got started. That is the name
on
it.
How many of you know who Bambi is? Raise your hand. Oh, all right.
But that's official name on it. That's not something that we picked up as far as it goes. So whoever invented it to begin with must have thought about that, and that's what the name is.
Uh-huh.
We usually just refer to it as a water bucket.
A water bucket, okay. But you don't have any names for your machinery, like Bouncing Betty or, call your name, things like Old Pay.
Some people do. I was just at a fire, and I guess, does anybody know that the fire situation in Florida right now is pretty severe? We've had, number-wise, we're burning about 90% of the fires from year to year, from January to January. As of right now in May, we already have 90% of the number of fires on a 10-year average year. But we're running 300% on acreage figures. The reason is because it's so dry and hot in Florida right now. When a fire starts, it's very difficult to get it out.
Are most of those fires in the Everglades now?
Right now, well, that's not even working on the Everglades fires, because we, Division of Forestry is not responsible for that. Right now, there's probably about an 82,000 acre fire going on in the Everglades. There's also
a lot of acres.
We don't have any fires right now. We don't have any fires going on in North Florida because we have been getting some rain. But from Orlando south, we have quite a number of fires going on. And the Everglades fire is very large, and there's some other ones in Fort Lauderdale and Dade, and there's also some in the Sarasota area.
Wow. Look, Martine's got it, brought his equipment here. We're going to have a fire fashion show.
Oh. Well, maybe I should stand up on this one.
Yeah. Why don't you just put everything on and let's have Cheryl or Jay just sort of narrate, really be like a fashion show.
Okay.
Do a real fashion show here.
Okay, this is the fashion show for the fire equipment. First off, he already has part of his fashion show on because he has what is called the fire pants on. Those are cotton pants, and the ones that Jay has on, I don't have my official pants on, so I kind of can't even talk about what I have on. Jay's pants are polyester. We're not allowed to use those on fires. The ones that Martine has on are cotton pants, and those are our firefighting pants. And then, of course, he has on his helmet.
Right. And another thing, once we go out to suppress the wildfire, we have to take this shirt off. Due to the intensity of the heat, if we're ever overrun by a fire, this shirt will burn and scorch up under this firefighting shirt here.
So what we have is, I don't even know if Martine has this, but I'm sure he probably does. We have cotton T-shirts. They're 100% cotton T-shirts. So when they go to fight a fire, the first thing they do is take off the shirt that they have on. Those are our more official. And then he has his cotton T-shirt on underneath, or division shirt. Then he puts on his fire shirt, which is made out of Nomex.
Why don't you put it on, Martine? It'd be really interesting to see.
All right.
As you can tell, it's this is kind of a stigma. If you can get your shirt real dirty, you've been doing something. So this looks good when you got it like this.
And you don't want to wash it too much because you wash some of the fabric out. And you want all your fabric in there while you're out there suppressing the fire.
I think they just don't like to wash them so they look cool. Oh. If you have a bright yellow shirt on, it's not the same.
Okay. This is a patch that we got not too long ago. They recertify us for prescribed burning, I believe the patch came out for. And it's a certification that shows that we took another phase of the firefighting course. And this is the shield that we actually use while we're suppressing the fire to keep the sticks and everything from a degree from getting in our eyes where we have good visibility.
And why do you have the earmuffs?
All right, earmuffs are used for radio communication. Riding around on the back of the unit over there is the trite to be read up to such a noise, like, you know, racket. And so you put your earmuffs on, and it saves your ears. And also you have a little plug here on the side that hooks and inserts into the radio so you can keep good communication with the dispatch and all other crews that's out there on the scene.
That's important in a fire, is to know where everybody is. And also so someone can direct to you where you want to go or to tell you to get out in a dangerous area. So that's why they have those hooked into the radio so they can keep in contact with somebody at all times.
Those aren't Mickey Mouse ears.
Yeah. They do have a purpose.
And you have an option to wear this on the fire also. But if you put this around your neck, and it also saves you if you get in on the flame too close, to save your neck potion. And we also have gloves. And this is the what you call a pistol belt that every unit is issued out at this time. And whether you're riding or walking, as long as you're in a fire, you have to have this belt on. You have to have it with you at all times. In case we overrun by a fire of any nature, within our training, what we are taught to do is to clear out an area and pop open your fire shelter here.
Now, you've got other names for that thing, don't you? What do you call it?
Lifesaver.
Lifesaver?
I try not to use it unless you really have to.
Yeah.
Some people call it a tater wrapper because it looks just like aluminum foil.
Okay. I don't really want to pop this, but due to the purposes of demonstration, I'll go ahead on and pop this. But once they pop the seal on them, it's pretty much you want to have it for the real thing. I'm quite sure I can get another one.
So can you get another one?
From the division over there. But anyway, once you pull your tab there, you would like to get into this within 30 minutes.
30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Okay, let's see you do it. Let's see you do it.
Okay.
Go on in there.
I will. I'm going to give a demonstration right out front there.
We are tested on this, that everybody has to be tested to see if you can get. You have to get off the tractor and into your fire shelter in 30 seconds.
I hope we can get a couple more of these to do demonstrations. We need a couple more to do demonstrations. This is great. Really does look like
I had that wiped out when I did. And then you stay like that until the fire passes over you. So some people, sometimes they stay in it for 30 minutes to an hour. You don't ever really want to get yourself in a situation where you have to do this, but there have been times. We had a ranger last year who was burned over. Well, in fact, it was the same crew. They were burned over twice, and they released their fire tents twice. And the one time, they weren't able to get out their other fire shelter, and I don't know the reason, and two of them were in that fire shelter for about 30 minutes. The fire burned over them. They got out, but the smoke was so intense, they were having a difficult time breathing. They got back in the shelter for another length of time, and then the fire burned over them, and they were okay, and they were able to get out. But that man who doesn't work with us anymore, Dave Harrell, he worked with us, though, for a year or so after that happened, so I don't think that was the reason. But anyway, Dave was burned over, like I said, twice, and he swears by those. He says before he didn't know if he believed it or not, but he does like them now. He carries them with him at all times. He worked out of Baker County.
Yeah, I think that fire tent would act as a sail if you're not too careful. You get picked up in the wind.
Yeah, you have. That's why you have to hold it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. Now, go ahead. You have a question? Go ahead.
I don't think that would work because of the fact that you would have to have your face and all covered, and to have a suit and wear that around would just not be real practical. That's why they have the Nomax shirts, and this is just for very situations, life-threatening situations, that you would want to wear that. I found out it was something very interesting. we did a promotion with the races in Smoky Bear, and all the race car drivers also wear Nomax suits, and for in case the fire catches on fire.
Nomax suits? What do you mean?
The same type thing. Okay. But if anyone will, anyone can tell you, those are very hot to work in, and when you already have the heat of the fire, and then you're in a suit, the shirts are bad enough, and I think that working in something like that would just be really uncomfortable.
Now, when you're doing a prescribed burn where you're controlling the underbrush or you're working on a control burn doing the site prep, do you use the same, this time, would you, do you use the same equipment, but then you have to add fire now?
Right.
What do you do for that?
Okay. First thing we do, we work in a very, what we call, small window. Weather that we're after, depending on what kind of burn we want. We may want it slow and hot. We want it fast and cool. Or depending on the site, mm-hmm. we have to select weather that would fit that right. that for us.
Let's say a day like this.
Okay, a day like this would be primarily site prep burning. We mm-hmm. wouldn't do any. We could do some control burning on maybe like longleaf, some larger stuff. Mm-hmm. We like to have little wetter soil, little cooler soil, but we could do it. What we're after, the fire itself won't kill the trees. It's the heat from the fire. What we want is to go through and cool it off as quick as we can. And what we do, we'll get a ranger, come out, put lines around it for us using the tractor. Plow unit.
Lines are what, like trenches?
In a sort, mm-hmm. trench. It's we remove any debris, any get down to the bare mineral soil. Mm-hmm. Some that will stop, remove the fuel, stop the fire. Sometimes one line will be enough. Sometimes we may need more. Mm-hmm. We then mm-hmm. determine the wind direction, and we have several types of fires that we can use. Backing fires, where we'll back it into the wind. Head fire, strip head fires, flanking fires. There's several
right.
types we
all
use.
All sorts of kinds. Do you use right. matches to start them?
Well, just to start our backfire pot.
You have a backfire pot?
We don't have much time.
Okay. We have a. Okay. We have a piece of equipment that is a mixture of gasoline and diesel fuel.
One third gas, two-thirds diesel.
Diesel okay. fuel, and if it's not burning real good, we can boost up our gasoline a little bit and get what we call some hot fuel. From that, we'll strip fire, and from that, we'll sort of play with the fire. If it's not burning right, there's certain things we can do to speed it up. Mm-hmm. And what we're hoping for, we don't get wind shifts things happen. We normally have at least two people, if not more, mm-hmm. on a fire. One of them is a unit like this.
Uh-huh.
Everybody always worries about letting the fire escape from them. And even the best of us will occasionally have a fire escape from us, not intentionally, of course. And the old saying is, it's not if it escapes, it's when it's going to escape. Weather changes and there's nothing we can do about it, and that's when we start. That's when we become wow. firefighters and not prescribed
right,
burners.
So basically you can really make sort of a shift into that. You use the same equipment. The
pretty much.
Your only extra added gear would be that fire pot, which sort of looks
right.
like a big old gas can. Okay. Does anybody out here have any questions? Because if not, I want to thank you. Yes, ma'am. How hot does it get inside?
I don't know what the exact temperature is. What it is, the reason for that is because you can breathe in it because you fix like a little air pocket. You don't want to have a fire burn right on it. And that's the reason for when you do go into it, you clear an area around you. So the fire will burn up to that area and then go over you. So you are not actually sitting in fire burning around you. And the fire will go around you. It'll go up to a certain amount of heat, and they say it gets very hot in there, like over 100 degrees easily, just sitting in there waiting for the fire to burn over. But you, like I said, the main thing is that you're not having fire actually lapping on the flames. It acts more of an insulation or reflecting the heat as much as possible.
Hmm.
Most people, excuse me.
No, I'm sorry, you go ahead.
Most people that die in fires don't actually die from being burned. They're dying from superheated air that they breathe in their lungs, and it actually burns their lungs. This prevents, it gives you that extra little insulation, and, you know, if fire's intense enough and over you long enough, you know, this wouldn't do you any good. Most fires, it's a matter of minutes. If they're hot enough and you can't get away from them, 30 minutes at the most. It has enough the capacity of keeping that air in it down where you're not breathing that 1,500 degree heat. What we don't want to do in here too is to take a wet cough and put it over your mouth. That moisture superheats and it will do just like not being in it.
Once you go inside this, and if it ever got up to where you really have to use this, once you put this over, you're securing your fresh air right there. And that's why I said never to come out of this. And the heat will get hot, and due to what this is made out of, it'll keep the flame lean, like it'll keep it off of you. The flame lean will pretty much be just burning, and you just be getting the intensity of the heat of the flame. But you won't actually get the real heat in here. Right. You just get the heat from the flame. This here is the sort of like a mirror. Like the mirror will give you a reflection. All right, well, it reflects the flame back away from you.
Okay. No, we're going to have to stop right now. I'm sorry to interrupt like that, but we need to stop right now. I think, though, that there are lots of things to remember from this. This is a real fire safety lesson as well as a fashion show, I guess, to sort of just be aware of the land around you, that there's more to a fire, I think, than I think I've ever heard of before. And thank you very much. And if anybody has any questions afterwards, you know, you feel absolutely free to collar these people and talk with them. I think that they really have a lot to share with us. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.